From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Blueberry scones, chicken schnitzel, easy-baked apples. These are just some of the recipes that food blogger Natasha Krubcheck shares with her millions of followers on her website, Natasha's Kitchen. Here's just a little taste.
I'm going to show you how to make baked apples and wait till you see what's inside.
We'll start with the filling. In a small bowl, combine brown sugar, cinnamon, and grated nutmeg. Mash those together with a fork, then add some dried cranberries. You can also use raisins or craisins. Next, wash and core the apples. You can use a melon baller to scoop out the core or a small paring knife. Set those in a casserole dish and stuff them with the filling. Add a pat of butter over each apple, then top with some chopped walnuts or pecans. The nuts are optional, but they do add a nice crunch to the filling. Pour 1 cup of hot water into the base of the pan to create steam in the oven, then bake until the apples are soft and tender. The bake time will depend on the size and variety of the apples. When they're done, slice into them and enjoy. These can be served as a dessert for fall or as a topping for breakfast.
Well, now I'm just hungry. Well, Natasha came to America from Ukraine as a refugee when she was just 4 years old. She and her husband have made their home here in Idaho, and now she creates recipes for banana bread, for corn chowder, meatloaf. She's even got a pumpkin cheesecake, and she's about to come out with her cookbook, Natasha's Kitchen, and we wanted to sit down with her and find out more. Natasha, it's really nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gemma. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I have to say, you have all kinds of recipes on your website. Let's just start with the basics. I mean, how long have you been cooking? I mean, has this something just that you've always done?
When I first got married, I didn't know how to cook very well. And that was 20 years ago. And so my husband and I were both actually originally from Ukraine. So we wanted to recreate the things that we grew up loving, you know, the classic Ukrainian dishes that our moms made. And We looked for things online. We looked for things in print, and there just weren't any good resources. And so as we were learning the recipes, we started sharing them on a blog that we started called Natasha's Kitchen. And it just grew and grew and grew. And we learned how to cook, and people loved our recipes.
So you mentioned that a lot of your recipes, you know, do include, you know, those taking you back to your childhood, right? And
yes.
And as you mentioned, you can, and we mentioned as well, you came to the U.S. from Ukraine when you were really young, you and your parents, and what, I think you have four sisters.
Yes.
Can you talk to us about that time in your life and what you remember?
Yeah, so I think I was probably too young to remember anything, and maybe whatever memories I have from back then were more stories that my parents told me because I was 4 and a half. We left Ukraine escaping Christian persecution because it was the former USSR then, and that was back in 89. And it was definitely a tough start for our family. We basically came here with nothing but a stack of suitcases, and my parents had five tiny girls from 7 to age 2, all 1 year apart. So I just, like, when I try to wrap my mind around it, it's hard to imagine, you know, what they went through and how much courage it took to come over here with nothing to a new country where they didn't speak the language, didn't know anyone. Fresh start.
Do you think that, you know, part of that, right, it, with cooking is, I think that sometimes cooking takes us back to our past, or it connects us with our ancestors, right? And so I wonder, with your parents having fled Ukraine, you know, how much do you think that your mom's cooking kind of influenced you, just in the sense of trying to maybe create, you know, a sense of place as you were displaced, you know, coming here to the United States, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think food is such an important way to feed and nourish your soul as well. I mean, just those comfortable, familiar foods that my parents continued to cook because that's what they grew up with. And it's just wonderful to be able to continue that in our own family.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the, you know, your, because you have a YouTube channel, you have a blog, I mean, a website. Yeah. As we said, you're just about to release your first cookbook. Your videos, I have to say, not only are they friendly, they're funny. And my understanding is that your husband shoots all the videos.
He does. Yes. So he does probably what a 5-person crew would do. And he does it all on his own. And he's amazing. and I think that's what keeps it so fun. You know, we love to have fun in the kitchen and he's there behind the camera and I'm behind the counter. And we just have a great time filming together.
How do you come up with all of your recipes, Natasha?
Oh, that's a loaded question. when you're in it day in and day out, there's inspiration that comes from everywhere. You know, of course, my favorite sources are my mom, my mother-in-law, family members, friends. But then, you know, there's cookbooks. That's one of the ways that I learned how to cook is, you know, going to the library, and I still do. I love the library. It's just to go and load up on cookbooks on topics that, you know, you want to expand in and grow from there.
Did you think that when you started, you know, not just cooking, right? I mean, because as you said, you weren't a very good cook when you got married and you were like, okay, right. You know, somebody has to feed us, right? and then you start blogging.
Yes.
Did you have any idea how successful this venture would be?
No. and I even went, you know, continued my career in nursing and, you know, had that as my course in my mind. And the blog was just a hobby initially. I mean, for the first couple of years, we didn't make any money on the blog. It was just a hobby. And we continued to post recipes, grew our following. And then it just continued to grow and grow and increase in rate. And, you know, to the point where I could go down in hours as a nurse and work more on my blog until it completely overtook my income as a nurse. And now it's our full-time thing and we have 9 people on our team and it's just incredible. It's absolutely beyond anything we could ever imagine when we were.
So let's talk about the cookbook itself. It's coming out in October, right?
Yes.
Is this your first cookbook?
Yes, it's probably the most requested thing from our audience. And that's my inspiration for this book, really, is my audience, because they have been beating down the door at this point. It's our first book and it's just doing just incredibly well. It goes on shelves October 3rd, but the feedback from our audience, the response has been incredible. When we first put out the idea of, you know, we want to do this cookbook, who would be interested in testing recipes? We had thousands of people sign up, so much that I had to close the form.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, there was such an amazing, incredible response. And we had hundreds of people submit reviews for every recipe in the book with photos. And so just the community around this book has been just incredible.
And my understanding is that you've created all of these recipes right in your kitchen.
Yes.
In Boise.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
And what has that been like?
It's been a journey. We first started out in a just kind of our own first home, you know, learning how to cook with for our own small family. And then now I'm developing recipes that people are trying all over the world.
So I mentioned in the introduction that you have a recipe for chicken schnitzel. So
yes.
And this will be in the cookbook.
Yes.
And you just came out with a video on this. Mm-hmm. So it's on your website. I've taken a look at it. So for folks who aren't familiar, what is chicken schnitzel?
So chicken schnitzel is kind of a play on pork schnitzel. And it's basically meat that you pound thinly, which tenderizes it and makes it cook more evenly. And then it's breaded with a simple like flour, egg, breadcrumb batter that's seasoned to perfection. And then it is sauteed in oil. It's super simple. And I love that we cooked the cover recipe, right? It's the cover recipe on my cookbook. And I love that it's the cover recipe because it really portrays what's in the book, you know, simple recipes that people will love, that they'll make over and over, that they know will succeed.
Do you have a favorite recipe? And let's just say, you know, from the cookbook, is there one in there that stands out to you?
That's a hard question because I have so many favorites. I wouldn't put them in there if they weren't favorites, right?
Yeah.
But can I have two?
Yes, you can have two. I'll give you two. Okay.
All right. If I had two favorites, I would say the first one is pierogi, and we call them vareniki. Oh. That's the Ukrainian name. And I grew up eating those, and they're just like the most memorable food for me. It's filled with potatoes and cheese, and I have this great memory of, you know, I love them so much that I would bite off the corners of each one just to make sure nobody would steal them out of my plate. And I made them for my daughter, and she did the same thing. It was so funny. It's like, that's my child.
Yeah.
But okay, I'd say pierogi would be my number one. My number two would be my mom's, they're called rogaliki, which is the translation would be rugalash. Her cookies,
oh, yeah.
They're just famous at every potluck, every family gathering. She's been making them for as long as I can remember. And it just feels like such a treasured recipe to have in the book. Also super simple.
Okay. Can we get back to the pierogies though?
Sure.
Love a good pierogi.
Yes.
And they seem very daunting to make. So, I mean, are these difficult to make?
They really aren't. I think when it gets difficult is when you're making a huge batch and you don't have helpers. So they do take a little bit of time, but the beauty of that recipe is they freeze really well. So if you have time, if you have like a free weekend, an extra pair of hands to help you mold them, they make a wonderful make ahead meal, which is just perfect for busy families. And it's also a fun thing, you know, it's like your perspective on the recipe and how much time you have. It can be a really nice social event. Like if you can get several friends or family members to get in on it, it can be a really fun experience.
One of the things that I love on your website are these, is your tag, the 30-minute recipes, right?
Yes.
Because I cook, you know, I'm kind of like the primary cook in our family during the week. We've got two kids. They're busy. You know, my husband and I both work. And the last thing I want to do is spend a lot of time in the kitchen during the week. And so you've got some really, I think, great recipes on here. And I mean, are they seriously 30 minutes? I mean, I'm looking at this right now. You have a meatball recipe. You have a lot of great salmon recipes, which my kids love. But I mean, truly, 30 minutes and you're going to have a meal on the table.
Yes. So the way you just described your family, you could describe mine the same way. And I completely understand that. We have two young kids and we are busy most days as well. And so I think that's really important to have those go-to meals, because the temptation to eat out or order out is strong, you know, when things get busy, but you know, home-cooked meals are definitely healthier and you'll feel good about it for sure. And so that's really important to me, to make sure that those recipes are, you know, accessible for everyday families.
Well, I mean, you even have an Instant Pot mac and cheese on there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, that's fabulous, right?
Yes.
That you can do something that quickly. And I mean, I'm so impressed with this, because I think it's so important to have those go-to meals. With that said, I mean, with the cookbook coming out in October, you know, what's next for you and your family as you move through this journey?
Yeah. It's hard to say. We're just taking it one step at a time, writing this cookbook. I mean, I have friends who have published cookbooks in the past, and you know, they tell you it's a lot and you can't understand it until you actually get into it. So it's kind of like standing with your mouth open and the fire hydrants coming your way. That's what it feels like. So it's, you know, it's hard to look around the corner when it's, you know, this wild and exciting right now, but you know, I don't know, maybe another cookbook on the horizon, possibly a show. I don't know. I'm almost scared to say that because it might happen, but you know, it's just, wherever our audience leads us, I guess we will definitely continue sharing recipes, because that's like the heart of what we do, you know, to share recipes that bless families. And we're just going to keep doing that, more of what our audience wants.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk with us. Really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.